You know, there's a skills to do everything, right? When you want to do the good task, you pay attention to the teacher and all these good points that he or she is pointing out, right? There are skills of listening the sermon as well. We must meet in the middle. I prepare my sermon and preach, and you bring your heart and meet in the middle. Now, sometimes you feel like, I don't get anything from pastor's sermon. Well, if that's the case, raise your hand. Be honest. This is the church. Anyway, many a time you feel that way. But let me tell you this. Without you knowing it, spiritually, you are getting fed or nourished with the Word of God. Okay? That has the power and life in it. Now, it's okay if you don't remember. After listening to the sermon, I don't remember whatever the pastor choice said. That's okay. Let me tell you this way. Do you remember what you ate week ago Friday night? How many of you remember? I remember. Unless it's anniversary dinner or something, you don't remember. But why do you eat every time? Because it nourishes your body. It goes with the same thing with the sermon. Each time you hear and listen to the Word of God, even though you don't remember a week later what He talked about, it nourishes your spirit. Okay? So with that anticipation and understanding, I also want you to, each time you come to the services, when it comes down to God's Word preached and proclaimed, I want you to have high expectation of you. I'm going to get something from the preacher's sermon today. Otherwise, I would be offended. I would consider it like waste of my time. You need to have some high expectation. The reason why most of us don't get anything from the sermon is because you don't have any expectation from the sermon to begin with. True. One more thing. I didn't share this at the first service, people. But when you nod your head like this, you get more. That's what the psychologist says. When you go this way, you don't get anything. Not just with sermon, with any speech. So, let's practice nodding a couple of times. You'll get something. 30 years ago, I was in seminary. And every student was required to take certain courses. And I was taking one course on the New Testament, New Testament 101, Introduction to the New Testament. And one day, the professor told the class that he did not believe in Christ's body resurrection because science cannot prove it. Whoa! I doubted my ears. A seminary professor who does not believe in Christ's resurrection? I thought to myself, why is he here then? And since then, somehow, you know, the teachers have huge influence, either positive or negative, on, their students. So because of that, statement that he made, I lost my interest in the New Testament, and I ended up majoring in the Old Testament. That's why you hear from my sermon from time to time, the Hebrew word says this, or the meaning of Hebrew, whatever. That's my background. Anyway, some folks today take the same stance as the professor when it comes down to the resurrection. There are others may love the idea of spiritual resurrection. Oh, you don't have to believe in physical resurrection. Just spiritual resurrection. Isn't it wonderful? The concept of being regenerated and reborn and so forth. Yet, they still deny the actual physical bodily and resurrection of Christ, let alone believing in their own. So this morning, I'm going to talk about resurrection. To be exact, Christ's physical resurrection, folks. By the way, we cannot talk about resurrection without death, can we? Who needs resurrection when nobody dies, right? In reality, we all know everybody dies. And death often, if not all the time, makes us wonder about what's coming next after our physical death. My first encounter with death was through my own father's. Exactly 50 years ago, in the summer of 1968, my father, at the time 59 years old, and he must have been jaywalking, and he was struck and killed by an American military truck. When I first heard the news, by the way, he lasted only 3 days, and after that, he was gone. When I first heard the news of his death, I don't remember crying. Just the numbness and perhaps a few drops of tears that my father was gone and no longer going to be around. I was 11 years old at the time. We had a wake in our house, and visitors, you know, stopped by, came by to pay their respect by burning the incense to my deceased father. The next day, they buried my dad at a sunny place on a mountain. Of course, I was not allowed to go. Too young to participate in the funeral. 6 months later, my family took me to my father's gravesite. We walked a couple of miles in snow, very winter, you know, January, and to arrive at the gravesite. And in my young mind, I still did not fully understand what death meant. Death appeared to be a series of events, such as physical separation, funeral, and then gravesite visit. And all these memories still linger 50 years later in me, like a summer haze, foggy, distant, dull, yet very sad. In the following couple of years, I witnessed more death. A friend of mine in middle school, eighth grader, died. It was a shock to me. I thought, too young. Then my aunts, and so forth. Now, all these deaths created a yearning in my heart that I want to see them again. I don't think that's my only isolated experience. We all have that experience. Even though I was not a Christian in those days, I hoped that something is there, something beyond our physical death. I thought to myself, death shouldn't be the final. The Bible calls such a yearning in heart the hope of resurrection. In fact, God's word, the Bible says, on the day of judgment, everyone will come to life again. We call resurrection. In the presence of God, and each one of us will give account of everything good and bad we've done in our earthly lives. After that, Christ the judge will decide each one's eternal destination. The righteous will enter into eternal life and the wicked into eternal punishment. Thank God, the good news is that Christ Jesus was the first fruit of resurrection. 2,000 years ago, on this very day, early morning, there are three women who visited the tomb and they witnessed the first resurrection of Christ. We call this historical event the first Easter. And since then, we've been celebrating more than 2,000 times every year. So this morning, I'd like to share with you my thoughts and beliefs on resurrection. When it comes down to proclaiming the resurrection of Christ, or even believing in his body resurrection, God provides no other means but his angels, messengers, and human witnesses. Let me repeat. God provides no other means but his angels, messengers, and human witnesses. No photos, no videos, no scientific proofs. Not that God cannot, but he chooses not to. I'm going to explain to you later about that. In other words, neither God nor his church offers any other proofs than the accounts of 500 plus people who personally witnessed the risen Christ with their own eyes. And there are some people, like Doubting Thomas, who touched the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. For the next 2,000 years, the accounts of these witnesses served and proved sufficient enough for countless believers like you and me to believe in the resurrection of Jesus. However, There are some folks, many others, including the skeptics, that has not been the case. Now, to such skeptics, C.S. Lewis, a prominent theologian in the 20th century, has a word. He asserts that the biblical accounts of Jesus' resurrection are sufficient to believe. He explains that we the Christians believe in the resurrection of Christ solely, exclusively, based on the words of witnesses, those 500 plus witnesses of Jesus' resurrection. Lewis takes us to his own experience, own example of believing in the existence of New York City. As an Englishman, he says, he's never been to the city to see it with his own eyes. However, the accounts of those folks who have been there, living there, are good enough for him to believe in its existence. There's such a city called New York City. Because, he says, he believes in the integrity of those folks who tell him the truth. Likewise, we the Christians believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not because we have a scientific proof, but because we believe in the integrity of those witnesses of Christ's resurrection. Would you believe if I said that I was born and raised in South Korea? Some of you have never been there. Would you believe that my father and mother, although they never took any picture, there's no way that I could prove that I was their son. But simply believing that they told me that I am their son, good enough for me. Furthermore, the accounts of these witnesses of Jesus' resurrection have been attested through their own lives, that all of them gave up their lives for the truth of resurrection. Their accounts still stand today strong as the only reliable source of Jesus' resurrection. Now think about it. If the Almighty God, all-powerful God, chooses to make everyone believe in Him and in His existence, He could do it. He can convince them easily. How? He can send out lightning and thunder for 30 days in a row on the dot of 12 noon every day. Then I believe everyone will believe in God, right? Yet, God never does such a thing. Not that He cannot, but He chooses not to. Listen very carefully. Because God is the God of love. Don't we love to quote that? God is love and God of love. Did you know love by nature never forces anyone to do anything they don't want to? God, the God of love, therefore, would never force anyone to believe in Him against their own will. In other words, God would honor your free will and mine to choose whatever we wish. Either we believe in Him or even reject even the very existence of God, and God says, so be it. It's up to you. God never, ever overrules your and my free will. Now, the same principle of love and free will applies to the beliefs in the miracles. Whether or not we believe in the miracles of Jesus, such as virgin birth. I used to hear people saying that I cannot believe a person born without the father, human father. I mean, you're raised in Europe. You heard of that argument? Recently, I read an article. Now, we don't need a human father to have a baby born. How many of you read that kind of article? Are you following the news nowadays? No, they said, now it's possible to believe in virgin birth. Hello, Christians believed in this 2,000 years. Science is that much behind. What about Jesus healing, walking on the waters, turning water into wine, and feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. His resurrection, His ascension to heaven. God leaves it entirely up to you, whether you believe the miracles or not. He simply presents the case, not through scientific proof, but through the accounts of witnesses, and leaves the rest to us. In fact, That's what God has been. That way, from the very beginning of the creation, He used the oral accounts to proclaim the truth. Even in the 21st century, He still does for Jesus' resurrection. He simply urges you, everyone this morning, to decide yourself whether or not to believe in the accounts of the women who first witnessed Jesus' resurrection. As far as I'm concerned, many years ago, I made up my mind to believe in their accounts, the women's accounts, because I do believe in their integrity. Furthermore, I believe in what the Bible says about Jesus' resurrection, because its truth, the Bible, has withstood the fiery trials and persecutions for centuries, folks, sealed with the blood of martyrs. Most of all, I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and mine and yours, because I do believe in His integrity, who says that He is the resurrection and the life and the way and the truth. Jesus doesn't tell us a lie. That's good enough for me. If you're one of the seekers out there, though, I have a very good news for you. God is very kind and understanding with your doubts and skepticism. Let's take a look at today's text. Please reason with me here. There are three women who went to the tomb. If they had believed without a doubt that Jesus indeed resurrected from the dead, why did they go to the tomb first place? And second, why did they bring the spices? Because the spices were used in those days for the dead body, embalming the body. Therefore, they would not have needed them for the risen body, would they? In other words, the women too, at first, believed that Jesus was dead, lying in the tomb. But then the angel reminded them, did you forget that what Jesus said? They too forgot. And to such forgetful souls, Jesus graciously showed His resurrected body. And there are, you know, three other accounts in the Gospels as well. It's the clear evidence of God's grace and patience in dealing with the stubborn and slow hearts to believe the unbelievable. Now, later on, the same Jesus demonstrated the same grace and patience to His unbelieving disciples, including the famous doubting Thomas. To him He says, Thomas, you know what Thomas says to the 11, you know, 10 disciples who saw Jesus? And they say, I don't believe, I don't care what you said. I need to put my fingers and hands into the very place of His side and His hands and His feet. But Jesus appeared to him and said, Thomas, bring your fingers, put them in my side. And Thomas says, my Lord and my God. I'm speaking to some of you who are still skeptical of Jesus' body resurrection, let alone of your own. By the way, if there's no Jesus' resurrection, there have been no of yours. I'm sure all of you demand the tangible, still tangible scientific proof of resurrection. And some of you, you would even call the resurrection either a myth or wishful thinking. Whatever your reasons of unbelief, I pray that the same Jesus would extend the same patience and grace to you. May the Lord either grant you the evidence you're looking for, or increase your faith to believe. One warning though, if Jesus ever grants anyone the proof of resurrection, He does so only to those who genuinely seek Him. In other words, He would never grant the proof to those who are not sincere in their search of truth, because He never plays by your rules. If you're one of those sincere seekers, the Lord will speak to your heart this morning so that you may come to know Jesus and believe in the resurrection and eventually claim your own resurrection through faith in Jesus the Christ. I'm going to close my sermon with this. The angel reminded the women there, why do you seek the living one among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Jesus was the first fruit of resurrection, and all of us will follow someday. He is risen, and He is risen indeed. So will we, and we do have hope of our own resurrection in Christ. Let's bow as and pray. I've been a Christian for over 40 years, Lord. If I had to live my life all over again, I would choose all over again to be your follower much earlier, much sooner than what I had before. Oh, so good to know you, Lord, personally, who is the resurrection and the life and the way and the truth. I pray that you speak to everyone's heart this morning. Illumine them. Open up their eyes to see you. Open their minds to understand the scriptures and open their hearts to listen and obey. What a great way of life you are, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.